Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson four in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled The Battle for Dominion. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
I've been on this teaching of dominion, the third side. This will be the fourth part, fourth teaching. And I named this one, of course, this is the Clash of Three Kingdoms. The kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom of God. Three kingdoms. And I titled this teaching, The Battle for Dominion. And I've been teaching on dominion, how we are to have dominion with God. There's a few slides that I pulled out of last week's teaching. But as we're going forward with this revelation and this understanding, I'm kind of taking a great risk. The risk is for you to hear things that I don't say, because we have preconceived ideas and definitions of certain terms, certain words, and I just ask that you wait till the end of the teaching to try to get what I would call a more biblical term of phrases and of words as we move through this understanding. Now, I want to announce something to you. We are now living in a spiritual Cold War. You can say, well, Alan, what's a spiritual Cold War? Do you remember the Cold War between the Soviet Union and the United States? There wasn't any shots really fired or battles other than outside countries from time to time we'd fight each other through. But for the most part, in a Cold War, you don't have too much of a physical battle. What you do is you try to starve each other out, right? You withhold helping each other, or let's look at this. The battle is outside of constitutional law, proving this is in the spiritual realm. Now keep this in mind. We have entered, no doubt in my mind, a spiritual Cold War. There's a battle going on. There's not really any physical fighting. It may be a little here and there, but for the most part, there's not any physical battle going on, but there's a battle. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? Now, here's what I want to suggest to you this morning. The battle is outside of constitutional law, proving this is in the spiritual realm. For instance, Facebook can cut you off just because I don't like what you say. Well, I thought I had freedom of speech. No, no, no. This is outside of constitutional law and freedom of speech. This company can do anything they want to with you. You've agreed to join them under their terms. And so, technically, Facebook is outside of constitutional law. So there's no need hollering freedom of speech. Can you see what I'm saying? This battle has been created outside of constitutional law, but yet we're fighting a battle just the same. The Cold War is, if you don't agree with what I say, I'll just cut you off. You don't agree with me, so therefore you're the enemy. You're demonized, right? Now, I will call a few more names today as giving you an example. Now, when I use Democrat or Republican, or if I use Trump or Biden, it's not that I am pulling for either one. Now, you got to hear me. Do I have my persuasions? Yes. But for what I'm shooting for, I have to give examples. And if you can get the example without turning that into a person, I sure would appreciate it. I won't have to tippy-toe quite so much. Listen, I'm a farmer. I'm not used to tippy-toeing. All right. But do you get it how it's outside of constitutional law? All of a sudden, we're fighting this battle. All these strings are being pulled, but they're not law. What? Now let's look at it. It's outside of constitutional law. Accusations are considered truth. What about innocent until proven guilty? Doesn't happen that way. You just have an accusation, let it hit the internet, you're done. The accusation is considered truth. There again, we're outside of constitutional law. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in the spiritual realm. You didn't know that a spiritual battle was going to be this real, did you? We're in the spiritual battle. An accusation can be considered as truth. All you got to do is make it, shoot it out there, get 10 people from Hollywood to agree with you, and you're gone. Unseen rules and laws begin to appear. Where did these laws come from that an accusation is? Where did it come from? It's unseen rules and laws begin to appear. Now you got to understand, this is a spiritual, warfare for real. Now let me explain something to you. We want revival. Revival comes because it's a reaction to something in darkness. That's right. So darkness is going to pick up, but I promise you that the power and experience of the revival will be greater than darkness.
Amen. Come on.
We're fighting something. We're seeing a spiritual battle in an unseen realm. We're being accused of things, and it's not even law. But people are acting like it's law. You're in a realm that you can totally be blacklisted from social media. Social media. Well, I thought that in social media, the constitutional laws apply to it. Nah, it's business. If you have a business, you can do whatever you want to do if you agree to terms. Which if you're on any social media, you agreed to their terms. Your information is owned by them, not you. Don't get too upset when you're exploited through social media. It's the plan. Political correctness is seen as law. Anybody with me? Political correctness. Well, all of a sudden, I'm offended. Listen, if you come to this church, I hope you get offended. That's the truth. This teaching today offended the heck out of me. It did me last time. I had to pray for Pelosi. Y'all viewed my humility in person. But God said it, and I did it, and I'll do it again when He says it. Political correctness is seen as law. Have y'all noticed that? All of a sudden, they'll say, well, that's not politically correct. Politically correct? Where's that written as law? I'm telling you, it's just out here in the spiritual realm. All of a sudden, somebody says, well, that offends me, so therefore, it's not politically correct for you to call me a dirty old dairy farmer. Which I am. It's just all of a sudden, I'm a dirty old dairy farmer, but I don't like you calling me one. So it's politically incorrect for you to call me. Where's that written? But all of a sudden, you got to see it now. Political correctness is seen as law. So now we're living in a society in the United States with a constitution, and all of these unseen laws is running the whole show. So I'm telling you that the unseen laws proves to you that this is spiritual warfare. Everybody's going by these laws that are not written. I'm like, how did this get in everybody's mind? How did political correctness get a foothold? We didn't see it coming. But we're in it now. Here we go. Here's what happens. You start calling good evil and evil good. The law is changed first in the spirit, and then it hits our law books. So everything that you see in political correctness now is headed towards our law books. Everything. Now, this war is a spiritual war, number one. The conflict is based around the struggle for dominance by two powers. Spiritual of man, spiritual of darkness. Wanting dominance. What's going on now is dominance. The struggle for dominance is expressed by indirect means such as psychological warfare, propaganda, espionage, and fake news. That's what goes on, went on in the Cold War with the Soviet Union and the United States. That's what's going on right now. At a high degree, surely you see it. But it's proof to you that it's taking place in the spiritual realm. Not all of it's hit the law books yet, but they're headed there. It doesn't, for the most part, it doesn't make any difference if it hits the law books because everybody's going by it anyway. Now, let's go on. Now, watch this. Dominance is an unholy obsession for dominion. Can you see that? Please, if you remember something. Dominance is an unholy obsession for dominion. You'll see all kinds of obsession over dominion. Okay, I'm going to do it, and I'll probably have to pray for it by the end. Ms. Pelosi is obsessed with destroying Donald Trump. I'm just sorry. She is obsessed with it. She's not going to be satisfied. Now, it's not the person. It's the spirit behind this thing. But I promise you, that spirit didn't want him out of office. That spirit won't be satisfied until he's destroyed. That's a spirit of Jezebel, by the way. If you want to know what it is, that's what the spirit is. So is the spirit of Jezebel out there playing now? All right, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll save Miss Pelosi.
Amen. We agree.
And Lord Jesus, we do want to capture her for the kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
That she'd be set free from whatever this obsession is. And that we could see a testimony on TV. Of her being saved by you in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a feeling the Lord's going to make me pray for everybody I use as an example, so I might refrain going forward. Dominance, please see this. Dominance is not dominion. Dominance is not dominion. Dominance is when you want to have a power over somebody else. With dominion, God never gave us dominion over man. He gave us dominion over the earth and the animals and such. But man, we're to respect and see everybody as honorable and equal. Are you with me? So there's a difference in dominance and dominion. Dominion is when we walk with God and speak for God what God says. Wow, let me move on. All right, here we go. Does anybody know what that is? Oh, come on. Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I said it. I did it right there. I did it.
Made a connection.
Now, I want you to see something. Now, this is a spiritual, watch it. This is a prophetic symbol. This is not, to me, the voting machines are, you got to understand something in the prophetic. It's everywhere. When I teach you what I'm teaching you, I could give you hundreds of signs like this. This Dominion voting machine. Now watch it. I'm not demonizing Dominion voting machines. If you get that, you're missing my point. Dominion voting machines is man's way. See, we're under this idea that the majority rules. Not the kingdom you were born into. The kingdom of God, God rules. That's just the way it is. This represents man ruling. Are you with me? This represents, so why does it call dominion? It's because it's a symbol. I can't go into the long line of, you can start studying, you're like, you got to be kidding me. So, it's a prophetic symbol of the majority rules, man rules. Now let me tell you something. If God's ruling, you can't change it. If man's trying to rule, guess what? You can do anything with it you want to. And that's just the truth. Because it's two systems of government. The body of Christ has got to decide which system it's under. Which one are you living under? Now, am I going to vote? Yes, I'm going to vote. And I'm glad we're in a free country. Yes, I am. Is it okay with me that the majority rules? Yes, it does, if it's under the authority of the kingdom of God. When that fails, we're in trouble.
That's right. Come on.
You see, the majority's not ruling right now. That's the reason they've had to create these unseen laws and rules. How do I know that the majority is not ruling? It's because of the tactics of the enemy. He's had to create these unseen laws, unseen rules, political correctness, all the stuff that everybody's going by. But the majority is not, that is not the majority. It wouldn't have to do that if that was the majority. Are you with me? It's man trying to take dominion without God. That's the prophetic symbol. Listen, we are living in such epic times of the history of this world and the body of Christ and the kingdom of God upon this earth. Trust me, Moses and Abraham, they're up there watching, rooting us on, praying for us. They're saying, take the ball over the goal line. Come on, y'all, pick it up. Take it over. But there's something that happens when we're living in a world of, and we're trained in a majority rules and in the kingdom of God. Now, let's watch it. Y'all remember my little symbol of the three sides, mine, yours, God's, you remember, if you've been here through the teaching. I show how there's three sides. There's your side, my side, and God's side. And then I put this scripture, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So we know that yours and mine are probably not going to be God's when we think we're so cotton-picking smart. Has anybody had a back set with feeling real smart lately? I mean, do you know what I mean? You feel my pain. Now, you see that little red line? Okay, mine. All right, let's say that I want to take a journey from my side to God's side. There's a journey to take. And let's put up another little arrow there from yours. All right, there's your, and we want to make a journey to the third side, which is God's side. Now, hang with me. I've got to move quicker than I'm moving here. Now, if I had a verse for this church this year, this would be it. James 4:8. If you want to memorize a verse To take you on into heaven, it's James 4:8.
That's good.
Now watch this. Draw nigh unto God. You get it? Draw close to God. And He'll do what? He'll draw close to you. So He says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh to you. All right, who makes the first move? Okay, you got that. We make the first move. How many is waiting on God to make the first move? You say, God's not moving. Duh. We make the first move. We consciously make a choice to draw nigh unto God. And then He says, and He will draw nigh to you. Guaranteed. Money back guaranteed. So if God is not growing closer to you every day, I know the truth.
It's a good word.
You're not trying to grow close to Him. Just the way it is. Quit waiting for... Listen, if God abandons this verse and has to bust your door down to get into you, look out. That is not the prescribed method. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Now, look at it. It goes a little further. Cleanse your hands, it says. You see that in the verse? How many people believe the Bible is the Word of God and tells the truth? And it's instruction for me and you.
That's right.
All right, He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Now, He already knows we're a sinner before we start trying to draw nigh. But He said, if you're going to draw nigh, ye sinners, cleanse your hands. Dirty deeds. Cleanse your hands. And do what? Purify your heart. Just a little instruction here, how you draw nigh. How many people want to draw nigh? First thing you do is you cleanse your hands, you purify your heart. Instructions of how to draw nigh. And He says, ye double-minded. Whoa. That's exactly right. Ye double-minded. So if you're sitting here today and not trying to draw close to God, you're double-minded. That's right. Say, Alan, I appreciate that. Listen, you're double-minded. I'm double-minded. If I am not consciously making a decision to draw nigh unto God, I'm double-minded. Y'all don't look too happy about that. But you got to understand, here, what's double-mindedness? Well, Trump, he's got some stuff I like, but you know, he's a little too hard. I think I'm going to go with the Democrats and buy it because, you know, he's a little softer. He's a little calmer. But I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go with God. If you don't know where in the heck you're at, you're double-minded. You'll squash over here and you'll squash over there and you'll be over here one day and over there the next. You'll be sympathetic for this and then you'll hate that. That's double-mindedness. It's what it is. I'm sorry, it just is. You're not on God's side. If you're on God's side and you're growing nigh, you're not double. Lord God, I can't handle a single of me. I don't need a double. Oh, Jesus, help us. As the lady said, Jesus, take a wheel. Now we got an issue here. We got a problem here on this third side thing. If I'm not on the third side real good, I'm being double. Means I'm going to have some confusion. Means it's going to be a conflict within me. Well, I like this one, but this one... Well, Trump runs his mouth too much. Well, this one don't do it. They're double. You're double. Yeah. You got all this mess going on. That's double-mindedness. As Christians following God under the kingdom of God, we're to be single-minded. That means you need to be making your mind up whose side you're on. That's what this means. That's if you want to grow close to God. If you don't want to grow close to God, this don't even apply to you. But if you do, there's the formula. If you want to see the kingdom of God on this earth, you got to go through this verse.
That's right. Come on.
Now, let's move. You cannot grow close to God, and He will not grow close to you when being double-minded. As you walk away from your side to God's side, you start leaving double-mindedness. You say, well, Alan, I don't know which side to go with. You go with God's side. All of a sudden, you'll discover you don't have to choose right over the left. The right or the left's got to choose who they're going to walk with. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Please don't hear what I'm not saying, because I know I'm walking a fine rope right here. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, please be here. And where I say it wrong, make it right when the hearers hear it. Is all I can say. Now, is everybody with me on this? The double-mindedness is our problem in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus prayed here, Matthew 6, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom do what? Come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So, Jesus said, pray like this. But Jesus is talking to people that's not double-minded. You're single-minded on the kingdom of God. There again, I said, will I vote next time to vote? Yes, I will. How many people have you heard say, well, ain't no need me vote now? So what does the dark side want us to do? Not vote. Can you feel it? That's not kingdom. We're to stand for what we believe is right. In God. Now, we need to make sure we know what God's kingdom means. The kingdom is God's reign through God's people over God's earth.
That's right.
That's just what it is. That's what the kingdom is. The kingdom is God's reign through God's people over God's earth. When we see some of this stuff happening, church, it's because the church is not reigning with God. If we're losing ground, don't look at the world. Look at us. For we're to be reigning and having dominion over this earth. Now, there is hope for us called repentance. John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I don't mind too bad at 68 years old of being wrong. Just as long as he'll show me what's right. Just don't leave me in this state.
That's good.
So that I can repent. I'll be honest with you, at 68, if I get in an argument with somebody, I hope I am wrong, because I'll know I'll repent and you probably won't. That's the truth. Figure that one out. Take that one home with you. What is the kingdom of God? Here we go. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will added to you. All right, seek you first. If you want God to draw nigh to you, you got to draw nigh to Him. Seek first the kingdom of God is drawing nigh to God. And if we draw nigh to God, God says He'll draw nigh to you. And guess what? All of these things are going to be added. Only thing I can tell you is I'm seeing so much darkness work on. There's a bunch of stuff from the kingdoms not being added onto this earth that I'm seeing. Amen. We're in a deficit. Yes. I take responsibility. I own my failures. And I repent of my failures. The nature of the kingdom of God is to break and to invade the earth's domain. Now you got to understand something. Israel was in a sinful state. They built a golden calf. Moses gets the Ten Commandments. Moses comes back down and God says, I'm going to wipe them out. Moses said, God, don't do that. It gives us a bad reputation. 19, it says, pardon, I beseech the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. Moses is petitioning God. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. So God says, okay, I'll pardon Israel. But even though God pardoned Israel, he made Moses a promise. His promise is, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, you imagine God saying that, been here forever, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Amen. How many times has he got to say that before it's true? When God says it one time, it's law. So God is determined to do something. Excuse me. God's determined to fill the earth with His glory. We are members of His kingdom. We are on a mission to fill the earth with His glory. We've been given permission to fill the earth with His glory. Now, quickly, let's move on. To understand kingdom, we must understand dominion. Now, here we go. Not dominance, you understand dominance, but dominion. Dominion is a ruling or controlling power. So it says in Genesis, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, and it goes on and on. So God's created us to have dominion with Him. What's the battle on the earth today? Dominion. If the listen, how can I say it? The more the church pulls back, the greater the battles will be. That's right. Now come on, let's own it. The more the church pulls out and pulls back of ruling and reigning with God, the more room we have given for the two powers of darkness and man to battle over it. We have yielded in giving a place for a huge battle to take place. That's right. Now, let's move forward. I have to do this verse. I've done it every time, but you know the verse. It's in Genesis 3. It's where Adam and Eve blamed each other. Does everybody remember that verse? Maybe some weren't here. But what happened in the garden, and if you don't get this, you can't get the rest of it. It's the reason I put it back in here. You got to understand something. When Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent, you got to understand, when you blame somebody else for what you're responsible for, you have given over your authority. Well, they did it. Well, he did it. Anytime you blame something, you give authority to whoever you blamed. That's what happened there. And so ultimately, she blamed the serpent, right? Well, where did all of the authority in the garden go? To the serpent. Duh. So therefore, you've got to own your stuff to have authority over your stuff. That's right. And guess what? When you have authority over your stuff, you have the authority to fix it. If you're waiting on everybody else to fix your stuff and you're blaming somebody else, you ain't got the authority to fix it. Then you wonder why God won't move. Can somebody make up something so I can feel better and say you love me? Okay, I'll take it. Now, when you establish dominion by ownership, that's the reason I have to take ownership of the state of our country. You say, well, Alan, you didn't do all that. I have to take ownership of it. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, He took ownership of the sins of man. Did He do the sin? No, but He understood dominion. Jesus had to own the sins of the world before He had dominion over them. The reason He could forgive the sins of the world is because He owned them. That's right. Now let's move. When you establish dominion by ownership, you establish kingdom. You turn it into a kingdom problem. Well, I'll own it. Uh-oh. It's a different day. Because we have owned these positions. Dominion requires a territory. What you own is your territory for the kingdom. It says this in Luke. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. All right, now we're going to move forward from here. The kingdom of God's in here. It really is. And just because we're not walking in it or exercising in it. Can we turn the heat down just a little bit? Or is it, I'm getting hot up here. Either that or some ice water or something. Now, God created the earthly realm, and God wanted to share His dominion through His what?
Nature.
Are you with me? God shares His dominion through His nature. Now, kingdom of God, it's in a realm that I can't see. But the kingdom of God is there. When you die and go to heaven, you walk through those pearly gates, do you not think that your nature will be of the same, your nature will match where you are, right? Now, this is what you got to get. Please, somebody, hear me. God created the earth with rim, and God wanted to share His dominion through His nature. His nature opens His kingdom. I'm going to prove it to you. All right, church, please hear me. Ears open. Everybody listening up here. You got to change. Thank you so much. I've got to change. You're going to have to change your behavior. That's right. You have to start. You're going to have to change the way you're acting if you're going where I'm going. I'm going to have to change the way I'm acting. Just because the world acts like hell doesn't mean we're supposed to. We're of another kingdom. For some reason, we're accepting behavior that we shouldn't be accepting among each other.
That's good, Alan.
I mean, come on, y'all. We're saying things to each other that shouldn't even be uttered. We're talking about each other shouldn't even be uttered. I long for the day that I see when a woman comes to the door, a man opens it for her. If you're going to walk in the kingdom, you got good manners. You know how to act in the house of God. You know how to act with God's people. That's right. Is anybody hearing me?
That's good. Come on.
You go to work and everywhere and talk about everybody and talk about this or talk about politics, talk about that. You're going to have to change the way you're acting. You're going to have to change the way we're talking. That's where I'm going. I might have lost some of you right here, but this is where we're going. You're going to have to change. God's wanting to renew your mind so you can walk in heavenly places in the kingdom. Trust me, it's better for us. God's thought it through. This is a good thing. You can smile. Okay. Now, His nature opens His kingdom. Some people are saying, well, I'll be honest with you. If the kingdom of God was all I experienced 25 years ago, I'd quit right there. But there's more to it. I'm not saying I'm perfect. It has nothing to do with perfection. Good manners doesn't mean you're perfect. How you act doesn't mean you're perfect. This means people won't mind being around you. His nature opens His kingdom. Please get this. For so an entrance, 2 Peter, shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Does somebody see the word for an entrance?
Yes.
Shall be ministered unto you abundantly. This is not a narrow way. This is a big way. Into what? Into the kingdom. Now, you can be a member of the kingdom and not living inside its walls. That's right. So here he's saying there's an entrance to the kingdom. Peter wrote this to believers. Now here's what it means. It means that you don't have to wait till you die to experience the kingdom of God.
Amen.
There means there's an entrance while you're still here on this earth. And the entrance is based on your nature. The nature is called a divine nature, according to Peter. So your nature, like Jesus, your nature, which is achievable, your nature is not perfect, but your nature is what opens this entrance into the kingdom. So how we act and behave and think makes a difference. Is it going to make you lost? No. But you can go to the pearly gates in the Spirit and they're going to be locked. There's an entrance. It's given, and you get in based on your nature. Can somebody hear me?
Yeah.
I know this. There's no more of a grace man than Alan Smith. I believe in the grace of God. But I believe God's given me His grace for me to give time to change my nature.
Good.
And changing nature comes by choice. It says this in Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, he would do this by sharing his nature. And it's in 2 Peter. If you want to write this down, 2 Peter, the first chapter. He speaks about the nature that we're going to have when we're in heaven, but Peter says you can go ahead and start having it now. And he says it's of great advantage because it's what opens an entrance into what. The reason you can't walk in the Spirit is you don't have a divine nature. Divine nature's by choice. We work at it. And when we fail at it, we repent. But we're still working at it. Now, according to his divine power, his what? Divine power, this is by God, hath given us unto us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, He's called us to glory because He's promised Moses that He's going to send it. And right here you can see if you walk in the divine nature that you're going to be a candidate to carry the glory of God to planet Earth. Glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be what? Partakers. That means you get some, right?
Yeah.
That you get some. Partakers of what? The divine nature. Now, the divine nature is the nature is when you're in heaven. When you die and walk into the gate, you're going to have a divine nature. But Peter shows us here it can start now. You don't have to wait to die to get it. You don't have to wait to die to go to heaven. You say people have these heavenly experiences, you don't believe it? Well, it's because of the divine nature. Do I believe Bob Jones walked in heaven? Yes, I do. I knew the man's nature. You could talk to him and he wouldn't make sense half the time because he was somewhere I wasn't. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. And to your virtue what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. All right, we got faith. We're going to add virtue. We're going to add knowledge. We can do those two things. And to knowledge, temperance. Right? You're not going to have a temper. You're going to be able to hold her. Temperance to temperance what?
Patience.
Patience. We can do that. We can learn to have more patience than we have now. More temperance. And to patience, what? Godliness. We can do that. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, we might have a problem with that one. But we can still do it.
Help us.
Help us, Lord. Jesus, take a wheel. And to brotherly kindness, what? Love or charity. We can do that. All of these are choices. If you want to say, Alan, I want to grow nigh to God. I want to grow closer to God. Memorize 2 Peter chapter 1. You take on a divine nature, which is not that big a deal, y'all. It just so happens I do have a few adjustments to make. But as we make these adjustments, all of a sudden I'll start having visitation prophetic dreams. You're like, oh. Well, Alan, I thought I could get all that by the grace of God. You are getting it by the grace of God. So the grace of God, He hadn't smushed you out like a little bug. He's left you here to get it. Come on. He's left us here and given us time to get it. Okay, and charity. All right, let me move on. For if these things be in you and abound, so not only can they be in me, but they can grow. That's good. That's encouraging. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I need the divine nature to carry on with the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm giving you this information if you're interested in joining the third side. Because the third side takes a divine nature to reside in the third side.
Yeah, that's good.
That's right. It takes a little bit more than you to say, okay, God, I want in. God says, all right, let me see your driver's license. See how many tickets you got. It does make a difference how we act as believers. It does make a difference. It makes a difference, people. We need to be kind to each other. We need to love each other. We need to love those who are unlovable. We love the sinner. We love the saved. We love everybody. But let me tell you something about loving everybody. Jesus loved the world enough to tell us the truth.
That's right.
If sin's sin, Jesus said, this is sin. Why? Because He loved us. When Jesus went into the temple and kicked a table over and took a whip and carried on, it's because He loved them. That's right. He was showing them about how disgusting it was. He told them the truth. The love of God means I will stand up here and tell you the truth. That's what the love of God is. It's not they're going to sit around a campfire and sing Kumbaya. It's the truth that sets us free. But he that lacketh these things is what? In other words, if you don't have the divine nature and walking in it, you're blind, you can't see far off, which means you don't have a prophetic bone in your body. You can't see if the divine nature's not in you. I submit to you that we have mistaken the religious spirit for the divine nature.
Yes, come on.
And if you got time to stay till about 1 o'clock, I'll show it to you. Oh, I didn't get an amen, so that means I'm going to have to quit. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Do you see that? Here's where that verse is. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the third side. But make no mistake about it. How you act and what your nature is the deciding factor. If you get to walk into these heavenly places, to see as God sees, to respond as God responds. If we're not there on the third side, we are left up to our own minds in a religious form. Yes, I'm against abortion. I got a flag up. I can have a form, a religious form, but it's not in my nature. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in your present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. What I just read to you should stir you up, should give you great hope. Have we got some work to do, church? We got some work to do. But it's achievable. How? Because His Holy Spirit is within us. The Holy Spirit already wants to do it in us.
That's right.
It already wants to. The want to's there. Now, let me move on. God's purpose was to create man to bear His image and have dominion over the earth, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. First, God's kingdom must have dominion over us. Then we will have the authority of the kingdom of God over the earth. Now, do you understand why now? It takes a divine nature to walk truly in the spirit of the kingdom. And when we have that divine nature, we can see. Why does the enemy come against me? Now, I want you to see this. Please go with me here. I'm hurrying. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there.' For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." You say, "Well, Alan, you just read that." Now watch it. Why does the enemy come against you? Because the kingdom of God is within you. That's why. You got a target on your back. The target's there if you're in the divine nature or not. Say thank you, Alan. He's after you because the kingdom of God's within you, and the enemy wants to destroy the kingdom of God. Just like I told you, the Jezebel spirit wanted to destroy Trump. Don't feel too sorry for him because it's trying to destroy you too. That's right. Now, I'm almost done. Clash of the three kingdoms, kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of man, kingdom of God. I'm almost done. The three kingdoms are in constant conflict because their goals are different. Now be with me. One focuses on an unholy dominance of man. One focuses on dominance of darkness, while the other is centered on walking in dominion with God. Please hear me. There's a fine line between dominance and dominion. It's a fine line. You'll slip over into dominance just as sure as little green apples if you're not careful. You can say, No, bless God. God says this about it, and yada, 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 and just take on a religious spirit and shout and spit and run on to capitals and all kinds of mess. That's right. That's a religious spirit. It's not God. It's a form of God. Uh-oh, did I lose somebody? Come on. Just send me an email. Now. To walk with the religious crowd does not mean you get it. You see, what we do is when we're not walking in the divine nature, we're walking in a religious spirit. Come on, y'all, that's all that's left. We fake it till we make it, so to speak. And we'll quote Bible and we'll quote verses and all that's good. But just remember, the best you can do is respond with a religious spirit. Not walking in the third side of the Holy Spirit. Now, to walk with the religious crowd does not mean you get it. Double-mindedness conclusion. When we walk in a double-mindedness, we have this religious spirit. Now, I know I don't like it either, y'all. I know two-thirds of you don't believe me. Just take it back and pray about it and ask God. That's all I ask you to do. Now, I'm going to show you something right here, and I'm be done. Preacher, get ready to give the invitation, because I think you'll do better at it than me. Now, the Jewish religious authority and the Roman civil authority ended up working together. Now, they were two enemies.
Isn't that interesting?
Two enemies, but they ended up working together. It's right here in John. But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Do you see it? The religious crowd. Listen, in this whole fiasco of our what we just went through in our elections and all this, I've never seen so many wishy-washy Republicans in my life, and that's right. Make up your mind. I never seen such double-mindedness in my life and people jumping ship, and I beats anything I ever seen. That's double-mindedness. Then everybody links up with each other. Well, Republican, well, I'm for that. And then they're going to jump over here. Well, I'm over here at the Democrats now, and I'm over here at this now. That's right, y'all. Now, that might be just a the corn beef way of a farmer saying it, but y'all get what I mean. Y'all say it prettier when you say it. You got to see something here. Civil authority came together with the religious crowd and killed Jesus. They allied together to persecute what they perceived as a common foe. Now, I'm just wanting us all to challenge ourselves. We got more religious spirit in us yet than we think in this whole battle and election thing. The only reason it's happened like it's happened and everything went to hell in a handbag is because the church is not walking in dominion with God. And then we want to sit back, well, God didn't do nothing. The religious group wanted the crucifixion of a dissident. The Romans wanted peace. Both ruling groups found a way to their own success using relativism and human reasoning as their way of truth. Can you get that? What's relative to the moment? In human reasoning to the moment. See, there's a third side. God's got something to say. He said it a long time ago, and it still works. He doesn't have to make it fit the situation. He doesn't have to use human reasoning to make it work. Neither used moral righteousness or an honest, neither of them used moral righteousness or an honest testimony. Neither one of them. Ultimately, this perversion of justice resulted in an injustice. As declared by the Jews in verse 15, we have no king but Caesar. I submit to the church of Jesus Christ today. Who do you serve? Do you serve the true King, Jesus? Do you understand you're living in a kingdom of God? The challenge for citizens of the kingdom of God is to live a life that reflects their citizenship. Can you hear that?
Yes, that's
good. I want to give you a few of them. We have a king and should live lives honoring him. Yes. We should not take on the behavior of human reasoning and relativism to justify our behavior. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus lived in a manner contrary to the characteristics of the kingdom of man and the kingdom of darkness. His kingdom is based on, governed by, and manifests truth. Just truth. You don't try to make it fit, it's just truth. Truth about heaven and hell. Truth about judgment and sin. Truth about humanity. Truth about God, a truth that sets people free. All right, my last slide. Somebody say amen, I'm glad.
Good stuff.
Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God is offering new life in 2021.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Eyes not seen, ears not heard what God is offering new life. Now, what I have spoken is kind of edgy. It's even hard to talk about. I know I could fall off the wall right to left or whatever, probably did a little bit. If I did, and you know I did, if you would just forgive me, and I think I had some good stuff to tell you from God. Just take what I've taught you and said to you. Test your own life. My goal in here today is that you will draw nigh unto God. And that He will draw nigh unto you. Because I know that's a money-back guarantee. If we draw nigh to God, and I've told you the truth, please consider walking in His divine nature. Please consider our behavior's got to improve. Please consider your behavior does make a difference. That we can walk in the divine nature of God. Trust me, church, we are all going to be, it's going to be of necessity that we can hear the Holy Spirit better than we ever have before going forward. For instance, we've got COVID shots now. Some should take it and some probably shouldn't. We say, well, I read this and I read that. Well, this and this is that. Listen, you can't trust me to tell you. You've got a Holy Ghost inside of you that'll tell you what you need to do. It might tell one person to take it, might tell another person not to take it. It's the individuality of each believer walking in the divine nature under the establishment and power of God that we can have the Holy Ghost speak to us and say, turn right here. Listen, there's not many people in here that the Holy Ghost hadn't given you a parking place. You know I'm telling you the truth. You don't think that the Holy Spirit, that we can be walking in such a relationship, and it's going to be of necessity where we're headed, that we hear the voice of God. When we do that, we're not double-minded. We're walking with God.